Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show presented by Juicetool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Armor. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. If he's looking to go to a new team, the last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, he's got to show up. And he's got to really, he's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 picks.
Back into positions.
Should we end the podcast now?
I have breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
Right now.
That's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the full package.
No way. I can't even. It's hard to even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy-defining plays and legacy-defining throws. 13 seconds. And you get the ball into field range. That is absolutely insane.
I have to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
And then I end up including in the podcast anyways.
I know. It's funny. All right. We'll do it anyway, just for protocols. You know what I'm saying?
You're good to go.
Welcome, everyone. Yeah, baby. Time has come. We wait for it all off season. It really, like, it goes by slow, but it goes by fast at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you sort of feel like, okay, when football ends, it's like, we got another 7 months that we have to wait. But now you look at it, you're like, starting Thursday night, tomorrow night, as of this recording, tomorrow night we have a full slate of 150-plus days without that we won't be going without football. That's quite exciting. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, Yehuda, welcome back to the pod. And I hope you didn't lose your way this time, because I remember last time you mentioned something about forgetting how to look.
I definitely remember the name of the show.
Okay, that's good to know. But you did participate, and we all participated in the Rocky and Meisty Fantasy Draft this weekend, which was very fun and had a very bad showing on the Discord. I blame everyone that didn't show up. Yes, that's right. But that being said, I want to flaunt about something. Here. I have the best team in the league, and it's not even close. Okay,
spewing nonsense.
You guys just left all these players on the board, and I'm like, who is not picking up a starting running back? It's the 8th round, and there's a starting running back that's going to get most of the carries on this team. Not going to name him. It's still on the board. Like, who was drafting? Who was leaving these guys on the board? Must have been Meisty, even though Meisty was not in half the game, not in half the draft. But that was really the problem.
Yeah,
you know,
showing up to the
my brother thought our draft was Monday night.
So he was auto draft the whole time. You and your brother were both on auto draft. You were on auto draft like half the time, and he was on auto draft the entire time. But let me ask you, Meisty, who is your favorite player? Who's the one guy that, like, you're riding or dying by this guy this year? Who's it gonna be?
Saquon Barkley. I mean, this is my ride or die season. I don't know. Listen, might not have been the smartest pick I've ever taken, but it was late second round or early second round, whatever it was. And I was like, my first pick was Justin Jefferson, auto drafted. I have to go get a running back. So I went with Saquon Barkley. If he stays healthy this year, there's no reason why he doesn't put up a lot of numbers. I just got to pray for him to be healthy. Who do you got?
I have something similar, not necessarily in this league, but I'm going to throw out Christian McCaffrey. But for the sake of the Rocky and Meisty League, you know, for the same reasons that you said with Saquon Barkley, the health questions. But for the Rocky and Meisty League, we all know Devontae Adams is awesome, and he was amazing with Rodgers. But people say, oh, he's going to a new team, he's getting older. But I think he's going to be amazing. He's going back to his college quarterback. Him and Derek Carr have that connection. I think it's going to be, you know, I mean, obviously it can't be Aaron Rodgers level, even though he's going from one Hall of Fame quarterback to the next Hall of Fame quarterback, as he said, his own words. But having that college quarterback connection, I think is going to help him. And Derek Carr is just going to feed that man 15 targets a game. And that's going to work for fantasy. You know, if anyone's getting double digit targets, it's going to work. And if Devontae Adams is getting double digit targets, you want that, especially at the end of the first round, you know, beginning of the turn of the second round.
Yeah, actually, my guy was not drafted in the first round, Javonte Williams. from the Broncos. I really think he could be a league winner this year because he had good value drafting a little later. And he's especially this week up against that Seahawks defense that allowed the second most rushing yards in the league last year. I'm loving that. I love the role he's going to play in this offense. Should be. I know there's, they sort of think it's going to be like a high flying passing offense. It's not true. Russell Wilson is not necessarily, hasn't always been, he's been a part of a lot of running teams. That was the thing. Unleash Russ, right? Let Russ cook. That was the whole thing with them. The fact that he's been a part of those schemes that run the ball a little more. So I think they're going to run the ball a little more in Denver. And I actually love Javonte Williams as my lockdown. I don't want to forget actually to get the producer involved. Morty, who's your ride or die guy this year? Who you just like, this guy's got to do well every week or else I'm losing.
Well, I mean, I think my running back core is just good to start with Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon. I'm not the one to do the most fantasy research every week. I just kind of roll with it. I happen to have gotten pretty lucky last season. But I am looking forward to our Super Bowl matchup week one, which me and you, Rocky.
May the best man win. A Super Bowl rematch, back-to-back games. You and I playing the last game of last season and the first game of this season. So let the games begin tomorrow night on Thursday. That's right. We have a bit of a new format for the podcast, definitely, for both the preview podcast and the podcast that will take place after all the games. Most of the games have concluded. We're going to first go through, you know, some of the biggest headlines from the week. This week we're discussing revenge tours. We have many of those. We have, right off the bat, Flacco against the Ravens. That's got to be as exciting as it gets, you know. Joe Flacco leading the Ravens to the Super Bowl in 2013 and him playing the Ravens for the first time since he's left. I mean, he hasn't been in the Ravens in 5 years or 4 years, and yet this is the first time, which is pretty shocking. Mostly as a result of him not getting many starting opportunities, but that's besides the point. And we obviously have Russ, we have Baker, we have a lot of fun things to talk about. We'll get to the pick-ems as we did last year. We'll go through all the games and we'll all give you our pick-ems. We'll get to a new segment called Meisty's Moneyline, which we'll hit a little more later, and we'll wrap it up after that. So let's get started with the headlines, guys. Revenge tour, as I mentioned, starting off with a guy that loves revenge, Baker Mayfield. When you think about Baker Mayfield, you just think about revenge. You think about a chip on his shoulder, even coming out of college. That was one thing he discussed a lot. I have this chip on my shoulder. Like, I have this. He's always out to get someone. He's always out to beat someone. And I think he's gonna do well against this Browns defense this week. Not because the Browns have a very good defense. I even drafted them in fantasy. They went very under the radar, and they actually have a top 10 defense in the league. People think like, oh, Deshaun Watson's not there, so the Browns defense stinks. Since when did one have to do with the other? I don't understand where people got that from. But point being that I actually think Baker Mayfield's gonna thrive in this offense. DJ Moore is there. Robbie Anderson can't play as bad as he did last year. He's got to take a step up in his game from last year. And I do think the offense will be pretty good. There's a lot of work to do on the defensive side. I'm liking this matchup. I mean, we'll get to the predictions a little later. I think Baker's going to have a good game. I think Baker's going to be out to prove something. We mentioned in the offseason, when Baker's out to prove something, that's when he's dangerous. So I think I like this. I'm very excited to see what Baker's going to do. What Baker's going to do against the Panthers this weekend. It's going to be exciting.
I mean, CMC there too. Like, you know, if he's healthy, then this offense could be scary. But it is funny to hear about a guy with a chip on his shoulder who was the first overall pick. Like, obviously, he did kind of get messed over by the Browns, and they really did not treat him well, especially for a guy who won them a playoff game, beat, you know, the big bad brother in the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Like, for a guy who won them a playoff game for the first time in the new Browns history, that they really messed him over. But it is a little funny to me when you say how he always has something to prove and he's always out to get someone because he's the chip on his shoulder. But he was the first overall pick. Like, he has the pedigree, you know? So
yeah.
Micey, how do you see this Baker Browns rematch going down? Reunion.
I agreed with Rocky mostly on this one, where it's to the point that I think he's going to, like, destroy. The Browns haven't won an opening. Let's start this. The Browns haven't won an opening day since 2015, right?
True, yeah.
Right? Let's start with one. Literally suck.
Was 2015 that they tied?
Yes.
No,
yes.
You know the last?
Oh, they have one tie. They haven't won. No, they have one tie and all losses since 2015. And haven't won. Okay? Let's start with that. Okay? So, literally, everything leans already towards the Panthers. And now you're throwing Baker, he would go 1-16 this year if the one win was this week, and he'd be okay with it.
Yeah, he would.
That's it. This is he literally is being living right now to play this game. He could care less about anything else right now. with beating the Browns is his only priority. If you think he's not going to beat the Browns, crazy. Of course, he's going to destroy them.
I wouldn't call it like the Panthers Super Bowl, but right, Baker is an individual. It's more, it's like Baker's Super Bowl, right? I think the problematic matchup, at least for the Panthers, is going to be up front in the trenches, right? You got a lot of young, new scent. It's a new offensive line. But last year, the Panthers ranked 28th in the league in pass blocking, 26th in the league in run blocking. But you have a lot of new faces there. You're bringing Bradley Bozeman and Austin Corbett in the offseason. Those two guys are two of the better players at their positions. And you bring in the rookie, what's his name? Ikwanu, right? They drafted Ikwanu, 6th overall this year. So, again, and Tyler Moten was their only competent offensive lineman last year. They improved the offensive line mightily, but you're going up against Myles Garrett. This thing is not put gelled together at all against that Browns defensive front. That could be really disastrous up front. I'm sorry. I like some of the additions they've had, but there's some really problematic matchups on the offensive side of the ball for the Panthers. I do think the passing game can have success, though. If Baker can get rid of the ball a little quickly, being that he might not have so much time to throw the ball, and he can get his weapons involved. He has some prolific playmakers there. You mentioned CMC in addition to the receivers he has on the outside. I actually think that through the air, they can do some damage. I just don't know how much they're going to get done in the trenches. That's really my main concern here.
That's what I wonder is, like, Myles Garrett, JOK, they start getting in Baker's head. They start knocking him down. And I wonder, you know, if they were friends. Like, obviously, if they're on the same team, you kind of have to get along. He's your starting quarterback. But, like, if they didn't like each other, and, you know, sometimes the defensive guys get really annoyed by, like, the cocky, outgoing offensive player. So if they were not friends and they were not getting along when they were on the Browns, you know he's going to get in his ear, Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
They start talking. They start hitting them. Like, could he throw off his game? Because Baker's game really is, like we said, this is his Super Bowl. He is so focused right now. But if you start knocking his focus and Baker's playing unfocused and wild, like, it could get ugly. Like you said, I mean, you win in the trenches, you're probably going to win the game. So we'll see if this O-line can hold up.
Okay, real quick, Rocky, I made a mistake. It's not 2015. The Browns haven't won a regular season opener since 2004.
Really? And can you guess who it was against?
Obviously,
the Ravens. The Giggles.
No, the Ravens.
Darn. I mean, the chances are, since they play him twice a year, that it was the Ravens. But you know how many times the Ravens have beat them since then? That's
plenty,
the problem.
I'm sure, plenty.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Their record is quite lopsided, and in one part, Joe Flacco will discuss in a second. But first, I wanted to get to another team that I think is probably playing a Super Bowl this week, the Seattle Seahawks, Monday night at home. By the way, none of these three players are going to their old place. I believe they're all playing at home. Meaning their new home, not their old home, right? And it's no exception on Monday Night Football. I found it fascinating, guys, that they put this Monday Night Football. I understand it's a compelling storyline with Russ going to playing Denver, but I'm playing Seattle. But at the same time, it's not really that good of a matchup. I mean, Seattle has the 27th ranked defense in the league. You have prolific playmakers on offense for the Broncos. You got three solid receivers. You have now Russell Wilson, a rushing quarterback. And an exciting player to watch coming in there against this Seahawks defense and the Seahawks team in general that's obviously rebuilding. Guys, please shed some light here. I don't know what the logic was to put it Monday night other than the headline.
Yeah, this one to me is one of those games as well. Not as bad as Baker, where Baker couldn't. But Russell Wilson got paid $240-something million, yep. Right? What is it? So... Right, and so it's 160 guaranteed. So they're paying him a lot of money to throw the ball. They're not going to hand it off. You said that earlier that they're gonna hand it off a lot. They're gonna run the ball. I don't think so. I think that the Broncos are looking to throw the ball, throw. They have Cortland Sutton. They have Jerry Jeudy. They have Noah Fant. I think still there. The running backs are. What?
He was in the Russ trade. He's on the Seahawks now.
Okay, fine. So
Tim Patrick's still there.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim Patrick, right? And then even Melvin Gordon and Williams are both capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. So they're looking to run the throw the ball. This is, Rocky, you talk about this. This is new age football of passing, right? And if you can't pass, if your team can't pass the ball, you're not going to win. And bottom line is that's what they're looking to do. They're looking to stack up there. Their defense isn't so bad. So I think they should be able to win this game with the help of their defense as well. Seattle sucks. They have good receivers, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Do they now?
Yeah, I think that was one of the reasons why Russell Wilson and and Pete Carroll had a power struggles because Pete Carroll was run, run, pass. And he would not let Russ cook, as we said. And he'd just try to, they'd be losing by 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And he'd be like, okay, now Russ, figure it out. You got to save us now. So that was one of the reasons he got out of there. And like, obviously you got to have a balance with the run and the pass, but like Meisty said, I think it would be more like 60-40 passing because Russ wants to show that he still got it, especially because he had kind of a down year last year. And I think he's going to want to light up the Seahawks. And that game actually is in Seattle, so he's going back to his old home. The other two are in Carolina and in New Jersey. But Russ, I think they're gonna cheer for him. You know, they won a Super Bowl with him. He was very good. He kept them in games. But he knows how to play there. It's going to be loud, obviously, because he's still an opposing player. But he is going to want to light them up. And I think he's going to want to show that he's got it. He's got that connection with Judy and Sutton. And obviously, they're going to run the ball. Javonte and Melvin Gordon are really probably the best two running back tandem. You know, no disrespect to J.K. and Gus, but they're a little injured. But or Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. But I would probably think Javonte and Melvin Gordon. But this team, yeah, like the Seahawks are bad. They're rebuilding, and Russ is just going to want to rub it all in Pete Carroll's face and just whoop him.
Why do we assume that Russell Wilson is automatically going to play the same way that he did before the injury? I mean, he didn't play well down the stretch of the season last year either. In fact, it was the worst season of his career. It was the worst passing grade of his career. It was probably his worst season since 2014. It's for sure his worst season since 2014. I mean, he didn't have as many big-time throws last year. He put the ball in harm's way more last year, made more mistake football. I'm not saying Russell Wilson's not a top 10. What?
His finger was all messed up. Like, he came back way too fast. Like,
LA, against Chicago, those games he came back after, against San Francisco, against Arizona, against Washington in week 12, those games were really bad. He played bad in all those games down the stretch of the season. The last 8 weeks is a reason the Seahawks didn't, I mean, yes, they lost him for 5 weeks, granted. But in the 13 games he didn't play particularly well. He had about 3 good games last season. Everything else was average to below average. So I don't know why everyone thinks he's going to come back and be Hall of Fame Russell Wilson. I don't know if he's that anymore. I really don't. I think he's top 10 Russell Wilson, but I don't know if he's the Hall of Famer that we're used to seeing from him. Everyone's jumping to that conclusion. I do think that the Broncos have a pretty good roster. We were saying last year, we talked about it, they won 7 games with a pretty good roster and without a starting quarterback, that revolving door they had last year, and they bring in a guy like Russell Wilson. I do think the Broncos have a chance to compete for the playoffs simply because of the division that they're in. But again, they are in that division. We don't know what Russell Wilson's going to do. I don't know why everyone's jumping to such a crazy conclusion. Russell Wilson, wow, they got like the one of the five best quarterbacks in football this year. We have Justin Herbert now there. We have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. These guys are sort of overtaken Russell Wilson, Yehuda. That's just the way I look at it.
I think we got to give him a pass for that. That was a mallet finger. He tried to come back really, you know, we were all impressed. He's like, whoa, he was only out for 4 or 5 weeks. He came back way too fast. He was awful against the Packers when he first came back. You could tell he was not ready to come back. And I was actually at that Seahawks Washington game, and it was ugly. It was so bad to watch. But
oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that was a Monday night game. I just wanted to go to a Monday night game in FedEx, which is, you know, pretty bad stadium. But
oh my gosh, I heard the parking situation there is horrible.
Yeah,
so I've heard.
But either way, that was ugly to watch. But I got to give him a pass for that. Maybe he's not Hall of Fame Russell Wilson, but he is top six Russell Wilson, top seven at least. And I love it. I think the team is so much more complete than the Seahawks have been. I think they're going to play to his strengths. I think that was what was promised to him with Hackett. I think that's why he left. You know, he had so many options. He had a lot of suitors, obviously. And I think he's just been working. And Broncos country, let's ride. You can tell he's in. He's all in.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see how it plays out. I don't know if Russell Wilson is going to be the same or not, but we'll definitely have to see. But let's go to the next revenge game. Joe Flacco going against the Ravens. And this is very compelling. This is our favorite one. We all sat through the Ravens playoff run in 2013 where Joe Flacco literally turned into Joe Montana and broke Joe Montana's records. Surpassed Joe Montana, some would say. You know, Joe Flacco is that type of guy that he would be awful for 3 quarters. Then he came in the fourth quarter. You needed a 2-minute drill? Joe Flacco 9 times out of 10. Boom. You have against the Steelers twice on Sunday night. Threw 2 perfect passes to Torrey Smith once. He dropped the first one, caught the second one. And then he has the Hushman's auto one. And he puts the Ravens in a position to make the Super Bowl 2 years in a row with the Lee Evans and the Bill. I mean, he played great. Those two playoff runs, if you take together 2012 and 2013, two of the best consecutive playoff runs I've ever seen for darn sure. Point being, he had a lot of upside, Joe Flacco. This man had 37 or more big-time throws in 3 seasons. Lamar Jackson hasn't had more than 21 big-time throws in his entire career. Just saying, Joe Flacco had more that bigger arm than Lamar Jackson had. Lamar Jackson has the rushing upside, which gives him more big playability. But if we're talking about big plays through the air, Joe Flacco sparked that every few games. He had like those 3 or 4 crazy passes, you know, very inconsistent. He was the definition of inconsistency. But at the same time, when he was good, it was like, whoa, this guy's arm, accuracy, everything's on point. I sort of miss him, but Lamar was you know what I love about this, Micey? I love the Ravens organization knows when to move on from players. They got everything that they could out of Flacco. The 9 out of 10 years he was there, they didn't have a losing record. They only had 1 losing record in the 10 years he was there. And Micey, that's what I love about the Ravens. They know exactly when to move on. They moved on. Flacco ended up derailed, his career ended up getting derailed, and Lamar ended up bringing the Ravens to a couple winning seasons.
Your mistake there was that Flacco got everything he wanted out of the Ravens that year.
That as well. And that as well. Yeah. That as well. Okay. Considering now, the circumstances.
Now, let's cut to this chase. All right. Are you really worried about Joe Flacco? No.
No.
Right? No one's really worried about Joe Flacco, right? But if you want to talk about the Flacco and the Jets and for the sake of talking about him, right, there is something to it. The Ravens' pass rush is still questionable what's really there. The Jets have somewhat of a good this up-and-coming new, you know, line and new coach, and there's a new system there. So you know, there is something to it, right? And Flacco is no stranger to Baltimore, and he knows Harbaugh like no one else probably knows Harbaugh, right? Like, who knows Harbaugh better than Flacco out of all the players I've ever played for him, right?
So, right, good point. Good point.
So at the end of the day, it comes down to Lamar Jackson taking over the game when Lamar Jackson has to take over the game, if need be, ever so be. But for the Jets to win, they're going to need a lot of luck, and they're going to need Flacco playing like he still got it, and they're going to need a lot. But at the end of the day, it's not like the craziest thing to go out there and be like, oh, Jets have zero chance. The Jets have a new system. New systems can shock you.
Yeah, they got a young core. They got Garrett Wilson. They got Elijah Moore. Just drafted Breece Hall. They've got exciting young rookies. And like you said, no one else knows Harbaugh like Flacco, but I think about there's a video I remember when the Suns got blown out by the Mavs, and it was like Chris Paul hits a huge three to cut the lead to 42 points. So that's what it feels like. It feels like Joe Flacco gonna hit Elijah Moore with a gorgeous pass, 65-yard touchdown to cut the lead to 21 points. Like I mean I don't know if the Ravens are gonna blow out the Jets, but this feels like a game that. Joe is going to make some mistakes, and we're going to see the bad side of Joe Flacco and why we let him go. And he's, you know, 4, 5, 6 years past his prime. So we're not really worried. It's just a nice fun storyline. Like you said, Micey, there's always a chance. The Jets, they have a young core, a new system, new fiery coach, obviously, Robert Saleh. But the Ravens should take care of business. And then Joe Flacco will give Harbs a nice hug at the end of the game.
Yeah, so I mean, you sort of just gave away your prediction for what's going to happen in the Ravens game, but I mean, everyone sort of did, but I think you could have predicted that anyway. But let's get right into the predictions. With that being said, let's do a Morty, and we'll start with Thursday Night Football opening day. I am so freaking excited, man! Opening day is here. Rams Bills. We got the Super Bowl champs against the Super Bowl favorites. Morty, please take it away.
All right. Well, I mean, you did my job for the intro as usual. So we're covered over there. So if you want me to pick first, I'm gonna have to go Bills just to start it off. Just to go into the football season strong. I don't think we could ask for a better, you know, opening night. So give me the Bills. Oh, right. Yeah, I have to tell you guys the line. My bad. The line is Bills -2. I'm going to take the Bills straight up.
Oh, I got the... Did we ever decide if we're going spreads or money lines?
We're doing like we did last season.
You get three spreads. You get three spreads. You get three spreads. 16 games this week. 13 of them you'll just go straight up money line. Three of them you'll get a spread and a money line, depending on which one you want. And in fact, for me, that's going to be this very game. I'm going with the Bills over. Two. I like the two. The Rams are the Super Bowl reigning Super Bowl champs, yes, but a lot of trades went their way last year. The Bills are clearly the Super Bowl favorites this year, one of the best rosters in football, poised to be a good roster for a good number of years now with that core of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs in place. With that being said, I'm going to go with the Bills to cover the 2 points.
I think that this game is going to be much closer than we think. I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah, I like the Rams as the Super Bowl champs, but got to go with the Bills. Josh Allen is a little scary right now. I'm nervous as a fan of another AFC team. I'm nervous of how loose the Bills seem to be. Like, obviously this Matt Ariza stuff is a little bit of a detriment to the team, but I think they should be able to go into the Rams stadium and win a close game. I'm not confident in that pick, but with Von Miller now and just a stacked loaded team, they should probably win.
All right. We're reading just like most of the major sports outlets.
Yeah.
I saw a graphic that everybody's predicting the Bills to make it to the Super Bowl, and most of them are predicting them to win as well. So they're certainly on a hot seat, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But anyways,
definitely Super Bowl favorites. Definitely Super Bowl favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our Sunday 1 o'clock game, the beginning of our 7 hours of commercial free football.
Yeah.
We have, let's go with the Ravens at the Jets. The Ravens -7. I have a just a guess, just a wild guess as to what the board here is going to be, but I'll lead it off and take a very bold pick and take the Ravens. And you know what? Give me the spread as well. I'll take the Ravens -7. I'll start it off on good terms with the rest of this podcast.
I did not see that coming, yeah.
You know, I appreciate individuality as well, Morty. So if you want to be different, go for it. But the Ravens -7 is a good spread this week. One touchdown seems safe, but I'm still just going to go Ravens straight up. I'm not going to touch that line. We discussed this game enough, so I'm just going to stop there.
Ravens -7.
Of course.
Ravens -7. Lock it in. Easy money. Go Flacco. Maybe two touchdowns, at least one or two touchdowns, but three or four picks. So Kyle Hamilton going to be going crazy.
Okay.
Zero touchdown.
All right, our next game.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, no. Big surprise here. Our next game, Colts at the Texans, and the same line. We have the Colts -7. What are we thinking, Rocky?
Okay, so Colts -7. I'm not going to take the line, but the Texans stink. I don't often say teams stink because I like to be positive. Texans have a long way to go, though. Their defense was one of the worst defenses in the league last year. They don't have any talent on the defense. Even in the Jaguars, you could look to like one or two players that are talented on the defense. You don't have that for the Texans. Give me the Colts, man, all the way, baby.
All right, and we go over to Mike.
You spacing?
Sorry, I'm just quickly thinking. We're going to go with the Colts -7 here, like you said, the Texans suck. Okay.
Yep. 4-0 sweep. I'm going to go with the Colts.
We got Morty.
Okay. So, we're seeing a -7 line, correct? So some sports books have it as 7.5. If you guys want a fun stat, I know this is the Texans, and yes, the Texans do suck, but the Colts are 3-12-1 against the spread in their last 16 Week 1 games.
One of them was with Carson Wentz, bear in mind.
This is true. So that being said, under the circumstances, I'm still going to take the Colts, but no spread. Just give me Colts straight up.
I like that.
Crazy things happen.
I agree. You never know.
All right, moving on. Next game, 49ers at the Bears in Soldier Field for one of the last years that they're there -7.
Is it?
Yep, the Bears are moving out of Soldier Field, moving to Arlington, Chicago, in 2024, I believe.
Okay, but, well, I sort of...
yeah, Rocky, go.
I sort of feel like the Bears are not giving Justin Fields a fair chance to show if he is really good or not. I mean, they put him in a horrible situation. He doesn't have many weapons, many playmakers over there. His offensive line's the bottom 10 in the league. So I actually think he's a pretty good player. Played well down the stretch of the season last year, but we're not going to know. Because when you have that bad of a team, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, there's nothing you can do about it. So at the end of the day, The Bears are not very good. Niners are a good team. I'll take the Niners for this one.
All right, Meister.
I am riding with the Bears. Give me the Bears. Soldier in Soldier Field, opening day. Give it to me. All day.
Is this Meister's money
line? Might be their only win this season. It might straight up be their only win this whole season. But
against the Niners.
Yeah.
Of all teams.
I mean, I am, by the way, I am the biggest 49ers hater.
He is a big
hit. I always predict them to miss the playoffs. I'll put my money on it every year that they're going to miss the playoffs. Mm,
that's the root behind this. Now I understand. Okay, Yehuda, please go ahead.
$700 playoff bet, Meisty.
Yeah, I bet somebody $700 that the 49ers would miss the playoffs just a couple years back.
Crazy.
And halfway through the season, he called me. He's like, we canceled the bet.
Yeah, that was a crazy call. The year after they went to the Super Bowl and almost
won. Yeah, the year after they lost the Super Bowl.
Good call, Meisty.
Amazing.
I'm excited for Meisty's money line. What we got tonight?
Yeah, but I got to take the Niners. Even though Trey Lance could struggle, and I don't think he's it, especially if they're keeping Garoppolo. But the Bears, like Rocky said, they're bad. No line. They're rebuilding. Got to go Niners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that everyone. You still need my pick, right, Rocky?
Yeah, yeah. I guess he'll go last. We'll continue that route.
Yeah. So give me Niners to wrap it up. And we'll move on to my game of the week. Eagles in Detroit at the Lions. Eagles minus four.
Eagles minus four.
Rocky, what do you think about that?
I sort of like the line. Eagles minus four against the Lions. I'll come back to that. I'll put a pin in it. But for now, I'm just going to take the Eagles straight up. The Lions did a couple nice things in the offseason, but the Eagles did some nicer things in the offseason. You guys all know about my take on the Eagles this offseason, my predicted NFC East champions. But anyway, I'm going to go for the week one victory for the Philadelphia Eagles.
To win the NFC East, all you need to do is like win five games. and the hype train is on the Lions. I think the Eagles crushed them. There's a hype train because of
Hard Knocks.
There's a huge hype. It happened last year too. It was always just a hype around the team. Give me the Eagles spread. Do I have a spread to give?
Okay. It's a minus four.
Do you want to have any more spreads? Or is that four?
I think you already have. No, you've only given two. You have one more.
So that will be my third. Eagles minus four.
Yeah, I'm gonna just as my second spread, I agree with my C. People do love Dan Campbell, and I love him as a guy. He seems like a good fun head coach. But the Eagles have done some awesome things, trading for AJ Brown, trading away Jalen Reagor. So I gotta take that. They're definitely winning by a touchdown or more. So I'm gonna go Eagles minus four.
Morty, we don't even need your prediction. You can just move on.
Yeah, give me that spread. Minus four. We can move. Morty wrote.
What'd you say, Meisty?
Said Morty wrote the Lions.
Yeah.
All right. Is that what he wrote on the spreadsheet? I don't know. You must have a different spreadsheet than me. He wrote Eagles going 17-0. That's what I see over here.
All right. Moving on. We have the Steelers at the Bengals. Bengals minus 6.5. Rocky.
You know, the Steelers are going to keep a lot of games closer than people think this year. But still, the Bengals, we sort of, like, expect to see a regression from them. But at the same time, they got better this offseason. They improved the offensive line. They improved some areas of need. I'm liking the Bengals to win this game against the Steelers. Division matchup.
Oh, yeah.
The Bengals versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh?
No, it's in Cincy.
Oh, I thought, well, I don't know why it's saying here and that's what I was confused about. Okay, yeah, now it's fixed. It was like showing them flipped. Give me Cincinnati. It's plain and simple. It's a rebuild team almost versus a team that's trying to win it. Go back to the Super Bowl.
Well, you said that the Bungles are rebuilding?
No, the Bungles are rebuilding. They're always rebuilding. They need a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. They got to restart. Yeah,
they need a quarterback with an appendix.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be a quarterback without an appendix. So they got a cut of it at this point. I'm going to take the Bengals. Mitch Trubisky is not it, and he is starting. So
he isn't? No. Mitch?
Mitch is not it.
Mitch?
By the way, you don't know Mitch. Just to go back on that, you don't know how bad Mitch is predicted to be? Some people are predicting Kenny Pickett to be the offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, right. And that's hilarious. Even, and he's a day one starter.
We're experts.
Oh, great. Anyway. Morty, what you got for this one?
For this one, yeah, give me the Bengals. I mean, it's like they were in the Super Bowl last year. How are we picking against them? It's not like they're playing the Bills.
They did lose.
Oh, losers. The last game they played, they lost. Damn. Okay, you have a good point. all right, moving past this. Two very lackluster teams. The Saints at the Falcons. We have Saints minus 5.5. Rocky.
Middest game out there.
So, yeah, this is a weird game. Again, when we predicted Marcus Mariota, we all were like, oh, Marcus Mariota, comeback player of the year, Marcus Mariota. In all honesty, the Saints have a pretty good roster, despite what I said in the offseason, just bashing them a little. But they have a pretty good roster. They're just their one problem. They have a big question mark at quarterback, but it's good enough to beat the Falcons. The Falcons are just, as we said, rebuilding, losing their veteran quarterback. The Saints also lost their veteran quarterback a couple years ago, but they're more well-positioned to win a couple games this year, so I'm going to go with the Saints.
There's a couple things that gets Atlanta excited. That's a season game winner. Season opener, game winner, touchdown, some crazy ending. And they're all going to be out there saying, this is our season. And then they're going to go like 4-13. And you're like, yeah. But give me the Saints. I don't trust the Falcons.
Yeah, this is a weird game because it is divisional round and they are a divisional game and they do not like each other, but both of these teams are kind of bad. But the Saints should win. But I'm not comfortable with that, honestly. I think the Falcons are bad, but I'm not comfortable just because it's a divisional game.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, I think the Saints are gonna be better than everyone thinks they're gonna be this season. So give me the Saints.
Fair enough.
Okay. Now we have Superman versus his Kryptonite. We have the Patriots in Miami at the Dolphins. Dolphins minus 3. The Dolphins, infamously known for being Bill Belichick's living nightmare. Rocky, what are your thoughts?
I think he continues to be his biggest nightmare. You know, they were his biggest nightmare when Tom Brady was there throwing darts, and all of a sudden they come out there on Monday Night Football. The Dolphins win 4 games or 5 games that year. But two of those games are against, no, I'm kidding. But one of those games are against the Patriots, Monday Night Football. And everyone's like, what? It's week 16. Tom Brady, the Patriots need to win this game to maintain the division. And he still loses to the Dolphins? And now you have a superior Dolphins team with all the talent they've added to the roster. Give me the Fins.
Yeah, I don't agree with that one, Rocky. I think that Mac Jones has put in a lot of improvement this offseason. And it's been like one of those under-the-radar things. You never hear anything out of the Patriots camp. You never know what they're doing over there. Bill Belichick always got something up his sleeve. And at this point in Bill Belichick's career, he's doing it because he loves it. He's not doing it because he needs to take a team to prove something. He's doing this, and he's kicking. He's having a good time doing it. I think he comes out strong in week one, and I think the Dolphins have a lot more to learn about themselves. I think that just because you have Tyreek Hill, just because you have Tua and this guy, all right. I think the Patriots have a solid game plan for week one. I don't think – when was the last time the Patriots lost week one? Can we pull up a stat like that? The internet was probably not even around the last time the Patriots lost week one. Oh, no, they went 0-4 with Brady. Remember when they started like 0-3?
Oh,
Brady,
yeah.
Whatever it was, something like that. And everyone was like, oh, he's done. He won the Super Bowl that year. But I'll take the Patriots to win this one.
I'll tell you what Bill Belichick has up his sleeve. He has two failed head coaches, Joe Judge and his 3rd-and-9 QB sneaking from his own 3, and Matt Patricia, sit up when you're talking to me.
Thoughts fired.
You know, at the reporters, and he has them calling plays. He doesn't really have an offensive coordinator. He has his son on the sideline. You know, sticking his tongue out, looking crazy. Like, Belichick is awesome, and he's a great coach, and the Patriots will win some games, but their offense is just, there's so many question marks. They're not going to be good. And the explosive firepower that I think that the Fins are going to give, obviously depends on Tua, but I think they'll do enough to be able to beat the Patriots, especially in Miami, like we said. Belichick's kryptonite in Hard Rock Stadium.
Belichick's got it in their blood, you know what I'm saying? Got the coaching in their blood.
All right. On that note, Rocky, give me the Patriots. Give me the Dolphins as well. And we'll move on to our next game. This is one of our revenge games. We got the Browns at the Panthers. Panthers by 1.5. Rocky.
The only reason this line is so small is because, I mean, Jacoby Brissett is starting for the Browns, right? He's like a game-managing quarterback. That's sort of what we expect him to be this year. Can he even be that, though? I'm not so sure. Therefore, I'm going to pick the Panthers.
I wish I had a spread to give because this would be an obvious spread. 1.5 should be an easy to cover. But I guess I'll have to go with the Panthers straight up on this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, give me the spread. Give me the spread. Yeah, good call. I'm going to take that spread. Thank you for reminding me. 1.5, yeah. Hey, go ahead, Yoda.
But I'm not really super confident. I don't know. Just have a weird feeling that Baker's going to, you know, this is his Super Bowl, and, like, he's going to put everything into it. But, like, that Browns defense and the run game might just somehow squeak out a win, but I'm going to pick Panthers.
You're saying that Baker might go ham, but still lose. He's going to feast.
It may go ham, but, like, in the bad way. You know what they say when you're, like, playing angry? Like, some people play really well when they play angry. But some people...
Baker Mayfield plays good.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah, some people it clouds their mind, though, and you're, like, you don't play well because you're not in the zone because you're just angry and you're playing angry. Like, I do think that he may be one of those guys who just plays angry and he gets in the zone like that, but I don't know. It gets me nervous because the Browns, I still think their defense is pretty good, and they have the formula, you know, defense and run game, where Brissett, who obviously is a game manager and not very good, is just fine, maybe a little worse than fine, but maybe do just enough to beat Baker.
But you're still going with the Panthers.
But I'm going to take the Panthers. So I just gave all the reasons for the Browns, and then I'm going to pick the Panthers.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, I like that. I like Baker. I think with McCaffrey still healthy, so far, we haven't, you know. He made it through training camp, so, you know, and the preseason. So, give me the Panthers. And I'm thinking the money line. Yeah, give me the money. Yeah. Give me the spread. I think the Panthers spread.
Okay.
Okay. Next matchup. To the Jaguars Commanders. At the Commanders. We have the Commanders by 2.5. Rocky.
Give me that spread. Commanders by 2.5. I mean, they're playing against the Jaguars, last in the league in points. I don't even have to go about what this Jaguars roster is looking like. I think this line is completely a result. It's at home. I think this line is completely a result of people just relying on the fact that Trevor Lawrence is going to get better for some reason this year. So give me the Commanders, baby. And the spread.
This is very interesting. I made a 15-leg parlay to, like, with all the teams, and I just left out this game because I think this is, like, a tie.
Ooh, what do wait, we say? Are we still
you
doing...
You win on a tie?
You get 20 gonna... points. 20 points for a tie.
20 points for a tie, right, Rocky?
Fine.
Yeah, this one might be like 0-0. It's like, well, one quarterback's going to brain both his ankles, and the other quarterback just can't play. But if I had to pick one, I'm going to have to pick the Redskins to win this one here.
Who are the Redskins? What team is that?
I don't know. I've heard of them.
Vice is right. This feels like a tie kind of game. It's just, this is like the most, I don't know. This just seems like the most random game, and I don't know. I can't pick. I would never bet on this game. Like you said, the parlay. I have no idea, but I guess I'll take the Jaguars. I'll be contrarian. I'll take the Jags.
Interesting.
All right. I mean, I would pick the Jaguars, but I think just the fact that the Commanders are at home. That's why I'm leaning a little bit towards them. But the Jaguars are... What?
I said, does anyone really go to the Commanders game?
That's true. FedEx Field is kind of a trash hole. You'll find, give me the Jaguars. I'll take the Jaguars. We'll even have the board here. Nice. All right, moving on. The New York Giants at the Tennessee Titans. Titans by 5.5. Rocky, would you say that's disrespectful?
I would not. They're the reigning AFC champ, regular season champs, right? So, again, people tend to forget that, and I don't know why they were the reigning AFC defending champs. They were far from the best roster in the conference, but they, you know, somehow they pull through. Some of them pull through, and Ryan Tannehill plays his role well there. You have Derrick Henry back, hopefully healthy this year. They lose AJ Brown, but I don't think that'll affect them against the New York Football Giants. So I'm taking the Titans.
Ooh, this one's a tough one for me. I am going to take the Titans, though, because the Giants suck. But I hope Saquon goes for, like, 700 touchdowns and 700 yards, but I still think the Titans destroy them.
I need to charge my laptop. 1 second.
No, go ahead.
His Saquon pick in fantasy, I understand. Actually, yeah, quick little fantasy nugget throw-in. I think Robert Woods is going to be really good this game. And like Micey said, the Giants suck. So this is going to be my third spread, and I do think it is disrespectful. That is a good question. Good point, Morty. They were one of the worst one seeds, like, by analytics last year, the Titans were, but they were still a one seed. You know, they still figure out ways to win games, and Ryan or Mike Vrabel does coach them up really well, and they are going to whoop the Giants. 5.5 is way too low. The Giants are so bad. They are so bad. The tape of Daniel Jones at camp, and they just look atrocious. So at home in Tennessee, Titans easily cover the spread. Titans 5.5.
I'll probably go with you on that one. Give me the Titans here. I see no real reason to pick the Giants. And we will very quickly move on to our next game, the Chiefs at the Cardinals, two red teams, two teams that start with the letter C. Rocky, will you go with the alphabetically first team? Will you go Cardinals here?
I'm going with the upset this week, actually. This is my upset of the week. I'm going with the Cards. Everyone disbelief in the Cards, but I am a Cardinals believer. Everyone's sleeping on Kyler Murray, sleeping on the Cardinals. I know they don't have Nuke Hopkins yet, but after six games, they're going to have Nuke Hopkins and Hollywood Brown on both sides. I love that prospect. But even for this week, I think they can upset a Chiefs team that's going to rebound from some of those losing Tyreek Hill, their cornerstone of the offense. No, I think Chiefs offense will be all right this year, but I'm liking the Cardinals just to upset, come out of the gate, play well, and pull the upset this week.
I think that the Cardinals realized the biggest mistake in their lives they made. So with that, I think it's very simply to put the Rocky just left. The Chiefs as winners of this game. I mean, it's silly. It's silly to think that the Cardinals have a real chance. It's still Patrick Mahomes. Last year, he started off very weak. I don't see it happening this year. Very weak in the beginning, right? Correct. Yeah. So I think that this year, he'll start strong. He'll figure it out. He'll get himself a win somehow.
What were you saying was the Cardinals' biggest mistake of their life? What was that?
Oh, they signed They signed their quarterback. They signed Kyler Murray to all that money. It's a silly money to get a guy that did nothing.
And they make him make sure that he watches film. He cannot use his phone. He can't be watching.
I heard all that. I heard everything. I have my headphones in. And the Cardinals are going to be good this year. I don't know why. I just need to put my charger in because despite what I thought, the laptop did not last through wouldn't have lasted through the podcast. But point being that I don't know why, but who gets this notion? I understand the Cardinals have a lot of work to do on the roster, but Kyler Murray has been a top 10 quarterback since he came into the league. Do we all of a sudden just think he's going to fall off a map? Where did this come from? Like, where did the Cardinals hate come from?
The new Call of Duty game hasn't come out yet, guys. You got to give Kyler
I heard about all this stuff today. I didn't know everyone was joking about it, but look, come on. If it's not a joke, then that means you're not really looking at his performance on the field. You know what I'm saying?
The biggest joke is how much you love Kyler Murray and hate Lamar Jackson when Lamar is obviously the better version of Kyler Murray.
Because everyone thinks Lamar Jackson is the best thing since sliced bread, and everyone thinks Kyler Murray is the worst thing since whatever metaphor you want to put in here. So point being that it's all about expectations. I don't think Kyler Murray is necessarily better than Lamar Jackson. I just think when you compare it to expectations, Kyler Murray is better than Lamar Jackson. That's what I'm saying.
Well, either way, I'll get to my pick. This will be a whole other discussion.
This will have to be a different podcast.
Yeah, after week one, when someone has an argument to actually bring to the table of how bad Kyler Murray actually is or how good he is, we'll know, I guess.
Yeah. Mike, do you pick the Chiefs, I'm assuming? Because you hate the Cardinals?
Yep. Big Chiefs. Feisty's a big red team hater. He hates the Niners.
No, I think correct. I happen to love DeAndre Hopkins, but he's not even on the team right now. So
Yeah, he is out. He is suspended. But I'm going to take the Chiefs. They have the better quarterback. Their defense is going to be a little questionable. I think this could be a fun, high-scoring game. But I got to go Chiefs.
Yeah, I think definitely a good over game. But I do like Kyler. I think the fact that he likes Call of Duty seems more relatable. I think it's too early though in the season to pick the Cardinals for an upset, so I'll go with the Chiefs here. And moving on to our next game, a classic matchup. Packers at Vikings. Packers still favored by 1.5. Rocky. Who is Aaron Rodgers passing to, and why will the Packers win?
I love that. I love the way you worded it. I, for one, can't wait. Jaire Alexander missed a good portion of the year last year. PFF's number one rated quarterback 2 years ago, and he's going to be going up against Justin Jefferson. I mean, this is going to be a great matchup. I'm very much looking forward to this game, but I do think the Packers will win. Again, they have one of the top five defenses in football this year. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers at the end of the day. I know he doesn't have great weapons, and Meisty predicted the Vikings to win the division, and blah, 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 but I'm still going with the Packers.
I agree with you, Rocky. Packers are still winning this game. Just because the Vikings are winning the division doesn't mean I still stand by the Vikings winning the division. I think the Packers are going to struggle other places down the line, but it's not going to be against the Vikings today in game one.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Packers do have a good playmaker at all levels. Jaire, like you said, Devondre Campbell, Rashawn Gary. But they got you know, solid elite level guys at all facets of the defense. But I'm actually going to go with Minnesota at home, even though the Packers are a little bit favored. Like Morty said, who is Rodgers going to throw to? I think, honestly, Aaron Jones is basically the wide receiver one at this point.
Lynn Lazard.
He's injured, though. He has undisclosed injury. He is not
Randall Cobb. Who else?
Romeo Dubs. we saw the Packers get obliterated week one, 38-3 last year by the Saints of all teams in Jacksonville. That was weird.
The Saints in Jacksonville, that is weird.
Yeah, because it was like some hurricane or something. So it was such a weird game. But either way, I think that happens again. Not an obliteration, but I think the Vikings will win and upset the Packers week one.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with you on this. I think Packers Vikings is generally a home team pick. I think it's even enough, and kind of like with the Cardinals, Packers. Like, I understand Aaron Rodgers is still on Rodgers, but still, you know, they would have had trouble with this last season, and if anything, they've gotten a little bit worse until they have proven anything. So I'm gonna go Vikings here. And moving on to our last late afternoon game, the Raiders at the Chargers. The Raiders having just picked up one of the Packers in Devontae Adams, but we have the Chargers favored by 3.5. Rocky, who are you feeling?
I want to pull the trigger on the upset again, and then, you know, it's just like what Meisty did. Meisty sort of went, well, I predicted the Vikings, but I'm predicting the Packers this week. I said the Chargers will win the division this year, but at the same time, I just like the Raiders coming out of the gate and playing well, going to L.A., they have a week, you know, home field advantage over there in SoFi, so I just like this one. I like the Raiders. I see them playing. Look what happened to them on week one last year against the Ravens. Somehow pulled out that Monday night victory. Just saying, some week one magic pulling through for the Raiders this year. I'm going to go with another upset for the Vegas Raiders.
It comes down to coaching when it comes down to these types of games especially. And the Chargers just have a better coaching staff all around. So I think that's why. And it always comes down to game one like that. You win a whole offseason, and then at some point you're like, all right, we got to focus on game one. Right. Probably at some point at the end, towards the end of preseason / throughout preseason, whenever you decide. But a good coach comes with a real good game plan. I think the Chargers are going to win this game. Actually, I think they're really just going to beat them well. It's one of those games. It's always those games. It's that one that's going to – the Raiders are going to be like, we got to step up.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I see about the coaching. I love this game. I love the AFC West this year. I think it's best division in football. I think a lot of people would agree with me. It is very competitive, and I don't know who's going to win this game. I think I would probably lean Chargers because, like Mike said, I think it comes down to coaching, and I did not like Josh McDaniels last time when we saw him in Denver. That was 10 years ago, obviously. He's definitely learned, and he's been able to learn from Bill Belichick. But Brandon Staley, I think, has learned, you know, not to go for it on fourth down at your own 19, fourth and one like that. I love the aggressiveness, but that's a little much. Like, just, you can punt, it's okay. But Brandon Staley is gonna use that aggressiveness in the right places now. I think he's learning to fine tune, you know, when to go for those fourth downs. And this game is just probably my favorite of the week, besides for maybe Bills Rams, but definitely my favorite Sunday game. And I think the Chargers will win in a close one.
I love Staley. I love all the points you guys are making. I just want to go a little bit of an upset here, you know, and try to pick a couple upsets. That's it. Don't want to be too traditional. But Morty, who you got for this one?
For this one, I'm just going to go with my gut here. I do love Derek Carr. But for week one, I'm going to have to go Chargers for reasons I shall disclose later in this podcast. And we'll move on to our next game, our Sunday night game, a great, hopefully thrashing by the Buccaneers in Dallas at the Cowboys. Buccaneers only by 2.5. Rocky, what do you think about that line?
Okay, so it's not a crazy line. Now, people, I'm not so high in the Cowboys at all, but you got to remember, Tom Brady's the type of guy that relies heavily on a good offensive line, especially at this age, you know, that never had mobility. And the Bucs' offensive line did get a little worse this offseason. I'm not saying they're really bad, but I'm saying they're going to be closer to the middle of the pack. And Brady might have some struggles, not as a passer. I'm not going to be that guy that comes out and say Brady's not going to. But at the end of the day, when he doesn't have as much time to throw, he can struggle a little more. But of course, I'm going with the Bucs all the way. Cowboys going to lose this game, man. Let's go, Bucs.
Hopefully, I won't be watching this game on Sunday night. And I will be playing in my championship baseball, softball league, whatever, championship game. At 8:15, hopefully, God willing.
We are in this game.
But if I had to predict a team to win this game, even though I hope not to be watching this game, I'm going to have to go with the Cowboys to win. I think that Brady has just – I think Brady's big mistake was coming back. And I'm probably going to regret saying that when he wins the Super Bowl and walked away with another Super Bowl.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, right now, I think Dallas, even if Tom Brady does win the Super Bowl this year, Dallas is coming out. It's one of those things, again, they always do it. Zeke is healthy. Dak is healthy. They'll have CeeDee Lamb. They'll have all their guys. Defense ready to rock and roll. And then they'll win this game, and then they'll cowboy the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that, and I hear Rocky's point about the interior of a line. I think the Bucs are getting really unlucky. With, I mean, they lost some guys free agency, lost some retirement, losing Ryan Jensen, tearing ACL. Like, they definitely have line issues. And Brady, with his weird summer going off to the Masked Singer or whatever he was doing, I don't know.
We talked about that, actually, the last one of the episodes where we discussed the Masked Singer thing. And then it was, like, dead silence because nobody had an idea what was going on. That was very funny.
Yeah, we're so confused. And he's, I don't know, he seems to be having marital issues, maybe. I was going to say
he's got some marital issues.
Yeah.
I called him a great husband on the last podcast.
They don't know. No one knows for sure what it actually is.
Right. I still think he's a great husband.
But either way, we got all these questions, but it's still Tom Brady. And we saw them play literally a year ago. I think it was either last year or 2 years ago on opening night when Brady was able to, and the Bucs were able to, with a little help from the ref ball, able to take down the Cowboys. And I think Tom Brady is I think he's proven that he's good enough to win even when the odds are stacked against him. And right, I am nervous about that line and if they get in Brady's face, but I gotta go Bucks here.
All right. I mean, I definitely like a Bucks pick here. You do know I am gonna pick the Eagles every single week in these pick-ems, and almost also I am always gonna pick against the Cowboys. I can't say for sure. Can't say for sure, but definitely in this situation, it's for sure. Buccaneers, Sunday Night Football, give me the Bucs, Tom Brady. And with that, we'll move on to our Monday night game. The last of the revenge tour for week one. We got the Broncos at the Seahawks. The Broncos by a full 6.5 points. Rocky, what is with this line?
Blame him. I mean, the Seahawks just aren't good. I do think Geno Smith gives him probably a little better of a chance than Drew Lock, right? I mean, we like him under center a little better. Drew Lock has proven throughout his career that Okay, I mean, you could flip. I don't know. Geno Smith is a serviceable starting quarterback. But anyway, yeah, we discussed this. Why I'm going to go with the Broncos. Again, you have a good roster. You already bring Russell Wilson in, who's still a top 10 quarterback in football. Give me the Broncos.
We could have had a double revenge game here if they would have played Drew Lock. Not really. But,
that's a good.
The bottom line is this. I think even though the Broncos are a lot better than the Seattle Seahawks, I would have to say that the Broncos just won't cover 6.5 here. I think that it's in Seattle. The crowd will be
roaring
loud. Team will come out to play. They should be able to keep it close. It might even be a rainy game, if I'm correct. I was just trying to find that out, but that's Monday's weather, so we don't know that.
Yep.
But I think it might be a rainy game, so it can be an interesting game. I don't think they cover, so I'm just going to go with the Broncos to win, though.
Yeah, I got to go with the Broncos. If I had another spread, I would take the plus or minus 6.5 for the Broncos for sure. Like I was saying earlier when we were talking about the revenge tour, I think Russell Wilson will definitely want to air it out and stick it in Pete Carroll's face and just absolutely own him. I think the Broncos win by a lot here.
All right. So to wrap it up, I'm going to go Broncos here. But if I had a spread, I would probably take the Seahawks to keep it closer than a touchdown. I think Russell Wilson's bringing a little too much hype to the Broncos than they actually really want or need right now. I think it's kind of like the Bengals. The less attention, the better. You know, they'll fly under the radar. They'll be a good team. They need less hype. But with that wrapped up, that's our week one pick'ems. I'm very excited. Good luck to everyone. And with that, we can move on to our new segment, Meisty's Moneyline.
Wow. Oh, look at that. I'm honored. I'm honored to have my own segment. With Meisty's Moneyline, so we're going to have, like Morty said, or Rocky actually said earlier, I forgot who said it, but I'm going to give a pick that is my absolute lock of the absolute week. And if it's a loss, you may request your money back from your local sports book. Please gamble responsibly. Obviously, that's very important to say. I'm also going to give another two picks on top of that. That's just going to go as part of our parlay, our podcast parlay. And after that, each guy will go through and give their lock. And hopefully, we don't all have the same locks. We should have discussed that probably before. But we like to do these things. This is how we do it here at the Rocky Meisty Show. So let's get started. I think it's an easy one this week. I think Panthers spread is the absolute lock of locks, and it goes from there. And other than that, I have the Colts winning their game would be my other one for a good pick. And obviously, as a Ravens fan for week one, and they're playing the Jets, and I don't think there's anything more than John Harbaugh wants to do than just – actually, it's probably even Steve Bisciotti who paid Joe Flacco, who's sending down the message being like, destroy the man. So give me the Ravens spread. So that gives it Panther spread is our absolute lock, Ravens spread, and the Colts. Rocky, it's off to you.
All right. So, I think you guys sort of glossed over something this week, and that is that you guys think that, the Commanders and Jaguars, it's just going to be a tie. The Jacksonville Jaguars allowed the fourth most points in the league last year and scored the least amount of points in the last year. They stink. They are terrible. The Commanders had one of the better defenses in football last year, the fifth best running defense in football last year, the 11th best pass rush last year, according to PFF. They trade away LaVisca Chenault. They have no one except for Christian Kirk to throw to. What, we think Trevor Lawrence all of a sudden is just going to make this like Joe Burrow-like leap in his second year? I don't see where the credibility for that is. If it happens, great. I'm happy for him. But I don't think it's going to happen in week one against a team that's getting held. Again, last year, all those numbers, 13th ranked defense in the league, without Chase Young for about half the year. They bring Chase Young back. They have a lot of talent on that on the defensive side of the ball. That in itself is enough to give the Commanders. We'll just go money line for you guys, because I know you're not going to like if I take the 2.5-point spread. But we'll just go money line for the Commanders. I'm pretty confident that is going to go down on Sunday, Yehuda.
The Jets, just a point, the Jags did win their last game.
Well, oh, against Carson Wentz, the one they're playing against. Blah, blah, blah. So that's your logic, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
No, he is the reason. Yeah, I hear.
I mean, both of us, both me and my C, were cringing. We were uncomfortable with you. We didn't even know who you were betting on, if it was Commanders or Jaguars, and both of us were like, why are you touching this game? Why are you locking on this game?
The point is to win the bet, Rocky, not just like risk the bet.
I would be shocked if the Jaguars win this game. I personally would be shocked.
Rocky, you make a good point. Yehuda, what do you have for your podcast parlay pick?
My podcast parlay pick, well, first of all, I'm going to go with my money, the dude money line lock, the Meisty money line inspired lock. It's got to be the Titans and the Giants. Like I was saying before, the Giants are bad. We talked about the Giants suck in Meisty's words.
And, sounds like him.
Yeah. And Derrick Henry's back. I think he may be struggling or a little bit, or he may not be what he was, but he was rushing for 2,000 yards. If he rushes for 1,700 yards, 1,500 yards, that's still pretty damn good. So they are going to destroy the Giants. And
they cover that spread? You want to put that spread in the parlay? You want to just keep it at the money line?
I'll throw that in the parlay. I'll lock that in. That's my money line.
Wait a second. So you're not complaining on a 6.5-point spread, but they're just the Commanders beating the worst team in football? You guys are, like, going nuts over?
I don't know. Listen.
What?
I respected your pick.
He lost to the Jaguars.
You respected him. It's true.
Now, Tennessee is going to whoop the Giants. The Giants are just bad. And then that I'll throw a Ravens money line. Throw them the pot into the podcast pick'em or podcast parlay.
That's parlay pick'em.
Can you imagine if we hit this?
Off the producer off. Morty. Morty, what do you got for us?
I'm sorry, you man.
You're gonna have to wrap this up afterwards because me probably along with the viewers are getting a little confused, but I think I would agree that Ravens money line is should be in there. You guys might not like me for this, but I've been looking up the stats. Week one is the best and worst time to get stats because a lot of it's from prior week ones, but everyone knows week ones is new quarterbacks, new systems. It's hard to judge that off of. That being said, Chargers are 7-1-2 in their last 10 week ones against the spread. I'll take the Chargers -3.5. For even, I think it's the value play here.
I respect it. Listen, I even though I picked the Raiders, I respect your respective opinion. I have no problem with that. Yeah. So we gotta write because I did not write that, but I'll go back over it afterwards and we'll see if those parlays hit. That would be pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie
let's go over this real quick. So this week's in our week one parlay, our absolute smash lock from my Steve's money line is the Panthers spread.
Oh, yeah.
And we kept with the Ravens spread, the Colts game, the Redskins, Commanders, the Titans, and Morty, did you say the Chargers spread or just the money line?
Chargers spread.
Chargers spread it is. Yeah, so that's how we're going to do it every week, and we'll try to keep it more civil in future weeks. This week is a very exciting week. But yeah, in the future we'll do it then, and send it back to Rocky to wrap this all up.
All right, so that'll do it for Meisty's money line, and I think that'll do it for the Week One NFL preview. Maybe we have some exciting stuff for you on Monday or Tuesday, whenever the podcast gets released. Point being, it'll be some point next week after we get a full weekend of NFL action, guys. I don't know about you, but I am psyched, very excited. It's always great to see when you look at the schedule and it's like tomorrow night is Week One, and not
less
even one game is being played. 18 weeks.
Hours.
Let's go, baby. We're pumped. We're ready. Hope you guys enjoy a great weekend of football. Please remember to subscribe and like and comment and all that great stuff. Till then, everyone, enjoy your weekends of football.